people everywhere are starting to listen to him. He's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television.
This is the wide world of Weingarten.
Welcome back. Wide World of Weingarten, episode 10. The Dodgers are down 3-1 to the Braves on the brink of elimination from the NLCS, and they are still minus 145 to win game 5 at home today. I think that's our only baseball action going on today. There's no listed pitcher for the Dodgers yet. Max Fried from LA pitching for the Braves today. The line a little high for me, minus 145 to jump in on the Dodgers here without knowing the pitching plan. I know it's going to be a bullpen game, so I'm expecting Corey Knebel is going to start, but beyond that, I think it's really all hands on deck from here on out for the Dodgers. They've been in this position before. They were down to an elimination game versus the Braves last year. They played 5 games versus the Giants this year. They know how to play in this situation, but eventually you have to deliver, and you just can't make excuses for the Dodgers, certainly not against the Braves. The Braves lost one of the best players in baseball, one of the early MVP favorites, Ronald Acuna. They lost one of their best pitchers, Mike Soroka, and here they are. They went out and they got Eddie Rosario. They traded for Adam Duvall, who's played fantastically all season. They got Jorge Soler, who's out right now with COVID, but would probably be back for the World Series. He hit a lot of home runs when he joined the Braves. But the Braves went out. They got the pieces they needed to continue to compete. The Dodgers, they went out and they traded for one of the best pitchers in baseball and got one of the best shortstops in baseball thrown in, basically. And they're not winning. So you can't make excuses for them. It's just they picked a bad time to play like a bad team, and they're on the brink of elimination. So that's really all I got to say about the Dodgers. The thing I do think, at least it's worth pointing out, and I've noticed it more and more this season, more than previous other seasons, but it's just an issue of pitcher attrition, really, for every team in baseball. You see it with the Astros. They're throwing half healthy Luis Garcia in game 6 tomorrow, which I'll get to in a minute. But Zach Greinke is another example. The teams are just running out of arms. They're running out of innings. They're doing every trick in the book to get through the season. So Astros game 6 is Friday. Nate Eovaldi for the Red Sox, Luis Garcia for the Astros. Doesn't look like Luis Garcia is 100%. I think Dusty Baker said so in his interview with the Houston Press earlier today. I will probably bet the Red Sox at plus minus 115 here and hope for a game 7. Like I said with the Dodgers, I'm out on the Dodgers at their minus 145 price here. If they do win and get to down 3-2, I'll reassess going forward, but I'm not going to throw more money after the Dodgers. The Red Sox, on the other hand, I'm going to give them one more chance in Game 6. On to the NFL. The Broncos are down to a +1 or +1.5 point favorite tonight on the road versus the Browns. I'm leaning towards betting the Broncos again here, but they've burned me twice already this season. Gonna throw out a couple trends here, and I'm going to point out that I don't really subscribe to trends being the be-all and end-all thing in sports betting, but I do find some interesting. So it's worth pointing out that Teddy Bridgewater is 23-4 against the spread on the road and 19-2 against the spread on the road as an underdog. There's many reasons for things like this. Sometimes it's just variance. Sometimes, you know, he was quarterback for the Jets for a while, and you get weird situations when you're on really bad teams, but you just take that in context of his career and stuff like that. It's one of the reasons why I was willing to bet on him for MVP. I thought, you know, the Broncos might have a very good season, and, you know, it's early enough, still time for everybody to turn around. Bad stuff going on a football team, but tonight would be a good game for the Broncos and for Teddy Bridgewater to get back on track. I'm more interested in betting on the Broncos here, not because of trends, but because of the 20 Browns on the injury report this week. I think injuries are probably a better reason to bet against the team, especially on a Thursday night. And as I mentioned before, if you just look at the last two games for the Browns against the Cardinals. I think it was 37 points they gave up, and the Chargers was 47 points the week before. Their defense hasn't played well on regular rest versus good teams. What are they going to do on short rest versus an average team? I don't think they're going to play much better. I actually think the total's kind of short, 40.5. I'd probably play the over, but I'm leaning towards just betting the Broncos side right now. Then awards wise, we've already talked all about MVP and Offensive Player of the Year and all that stuff this week. Probably won't follow up on that until next week after NFL. But I did want to point out something important is that earlier in the week, Circa doesn't post their player numbers. They tend to post them on like Wednesday or Thursday, as opposed to DraftKings and FanDuel, which are up on like, you know, Monday morning, which is nice. But Circa's numbers release much later. They're also much sharper. And sometimes, like this week, and I'm going to point this all out, that there's huge discrepancies in the market prices between stuff. In a simple market like Coach of the Year, where DraftKings has Brandon Staley 4.5-1 is the favorite, Cliff Kingsbury, the Arizona coach, 7.5-1 is second favorite, then Sean McVay at 10, Sean McDermott 12, Mike McCarthy 14, Kevin Stefanski 18, Harbaugh 20, Zach Taylor 35-1. Those were the main numbers and the top contenders. So then you go over to Circa. Circa has Kingsbury plus 230. Huge difference. Staley, second favorite, 7-1. That was his price at DraftKings last week or 2 weeks ago. They have Mike McCarthy, 7-1. Also tied with Staley. I think that's kind of crazy, but I understand that the Cowboys are doing well and you always get hype being the Cowboys coach, but man, no. Please, we're not going to vote Mike McCarthy Coach of the Year. Zach Taylor, 8-1. Sean McVay, 8-1. Sean McDermott, 15-1. Harbaugh, 15-1. Stefanski, 175-1. So huge difference from his 18-1 number at DraftKings. Zach Taylor also stood out the 8-1 at Circa compared to 35-1 at DraftKings. 35-1 is definitely a bet for me. The Bengals fit the profile of a team, of a coach that would win Coach of the Year. Taylor came up through the McVay system, so you know he's got that going for him too. So does Staley, for that matter. But being the coach of a team that's gone from very bad to wild card is the kind of thing that gets you Coach of the Year over being Mike McCarthy. Staley's definitely got a chance as the first-year coach of the Chargers, and then Kingsbury, he's going to be up at the top as long as the Cardinals are undefeated. And this is something I've noticed with Circa's numbers in Coach of the Year going back to last year, is that they value the undefeated coach the highest. They did it last year with Mike Tomlin as the favorite, and I kept saying, well, Mike Tomlin's only the favorite because he's undefeated, and as soon as they started losing, he dropped. But when you look at these numbers, if you have access and to multiple books, and the BetMGM numbers are similar to DraftKings, but you could take Staley at 7-1 at Circa, you could take Kingsbury at 7.5-1 at DraftKings, and you have adjusted 6-1 and 6.5-1 prices on the two of them. You have the two favorites. I personally think Zach Taylor is the best bet at that 35-1 number, as opposed to potentially if playing Kingsbury and Staley. I think I'd rather put more money on Taylor than a mix of all three, but I couldn't fault anybody for, you know, getting that adjusted 6 and 6.5-1 price on two favorites. But again, for me, my play this week is Zach Taylor 35-1. I already bet Staley at 4.5-1 and 7.5-1. So, I don't know, I could add Kingsbury here. It's definitely, like, anytime you see something that's 230 at Circa and 7.5-1 at DraftKings, it's worth considering and definitely worth pointing out. But, it's not a bet for me. I think Kingsbury's odds go back down if and when the Cardinals start losing. But, yeah, you gotta give them credit. That's actually a very good offense. They're four receivers, they go four receivers deep, and added Zach Ertz this week. It's pretty great. Then just some note quick on Stefanski. that 175-1 number at Circa was slightly tempting just because it's so off market from the other market numbers. But I went and looked if coaches won back to back, and I think one guy won in the 1960s. I don't even remember who it was. It was a name that didn't even stand out to me, which is surprising because I do read a lot about historic football stuff. But Joe Gibbs more recently was back-to-back winner in 82 and 83, but I think 82 might have been a strike-shortened season. I got to check on that. Belichick's won three times, but non-consecutively. And then between 2012 and 2015, Bruce Arians and Ron Rivera both won twice, but they switched off winning back-to-back years. So Stefanski, how would he win? I was thinking to win, he'd have to improve on the 11-5 record the Browns had last year, and I don't really see them doing that. I don't think they have enough room for improvement for him to win back-to-back Coach of the Year. So I did look at that 175-1 number, but I passed. Zach Taylor, the only guy for me. I think the Bengals making the playoffs would make him a compelling pick, even with Staley and the Chargers also potentially making the playoffs. Taking the Bengals to the playoffs probably should earn you Coach of the Year just for doing that. But those were the major discrepancies with Coach of the Year. The other major one is MVP. Circa has Mahomes 8-1. DraftKings has him 18-1. There's always going to be value taking Mahomes. He can have four straight games, four touchdowns, five touchdowns, do some crazy stuff, and he's back to the favorite, and the Chargers, everything's okay, the Chiefs, everything's okay, and, they're the one seed again. I don't expect that to happen, though. Like I've said before, I think their defense is going to hold them back. They mostly remind me of the 1998 Packers at this point, where they just, they're destined for a wild card game and probably a loss, but 18-1, you can never really go bad if you want to take the best quarterback in the league at a big number. Then as far as golf goes, round one's over in Spain and Japan. In Japan, I don't have much going on. None of my golfers have showed up yet. It's only one round. The leader is one of the local Japanese PGA guys, Awada at -7, Matsuyama -6. We'll see what happens in round two. Nothing very exciting looks like in running, so not much going on there. And then I mentioned Matthias Schmid in Spain, just missed my card at 35-1. Naturally, he's tied for fourth after the first round at -6, down to 9-1 live. I won't lose too much sleep if he wins, but I will consider making a small bet on him here at 9-1 just so I don't get more tilted this weekend if he continues to perform well. But yeah, I missed 35-1. I didn't think that was a great number. Not much in running right now in golf. Looks like a light weekend. KJ Choi and the Champions Tour tomorrow, 22-1 is for the senior stuff. But yeah, that's really it. The Dodgers play tonight. I don't have a bet on that game. I don't know the starting pitchers yet. I bet the Red Sox +115 for Friday, and Zach Taylor 35-1 Coach of the Year at DraftKings seems like a good number based on the off-marketness of the price at Circa. So yeah, back tomorrow with some more NFL and whatever else is going on. Hopefully we're here still talking about Dodgers season and not their postmortem, why things went wrong, but it's Dodgers, so prepared to be disappointed.